Good morning. I would like to call to order the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners on February 20th, 2020 at 9:01 a.m. Just as a reminder, this is a professional board setting, and we ask that when we are speaking, you not be speaking in the audience. When you're at the table, we will not be speaking over you, just so that everyone can be heard. We also ask that you make sure your cell phones are on vibrate or silent or off so that we don't have to hear those ring. As Kathy mentioned, CEUs have to stay until the end, and we will do a roll call at the end. Okay. We will get started with approval of the consent agenda, which are items Roman numeral 1 up to and including 2H.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Oh, aye. I didn't aye. And any opposed, say nay. And I actually forgot one step, introductions, board introductions. I don't know where I was going. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I'm chair of the board.
Alan Crawford, vice chair.
Kathy Rainier, board member.
Michael Butler, board member.
Elizabeth Campbell from the Attorney General's Office, Registered Independent Advisor.
Jeff Crawford, Executive Director.
Mark Harrison, board legal advisor.
James Monahan, board legal advisor.
Kathy Stone, Licensing Administrator.
Rachel Fox, Administrative Secretary.
Okay, do that out of order, sorry. You're actually going to see me going a little bit out of order on this agenda. I do have certain things I have to do at certain times. You're also going to see me kind of reading from a paper every now and again because I have specific scripts I need to read. So bear with us as we get through this. Are we ready to start with the regular agenda? You good, Jeff?
Yeah,
okay. So we will start with 3B2, and the board will call the case of Ranilyn Maldonado, case 2019-RCE-0191. If I said that right, you can go ahead and come up.
Excuse me for a second.
Sure.
Kathy, do you have an extra agenda?
Yes. Set for the board's consideration of respondents' request for rehearing or review of the board's order issued in case number 2019-RCE-0191. Pronounce your first name for me.
Ranilyn.
Ranilyn Maldonado, you are here. Are you represented by any legal counsel today?
No.
Okay. Is the state present?
It is. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Mark Harris.
Okay. Do we need to reintroduce ourselves?
It's a good idea because this is for the record.
Okay. All right. So I am Tracy Kagan. I'm chair of the board, and the other board members and staff will now introduce themselves.
Alan Crawford, vice chair.
Catherine, your board member.
Michael Butler, board member.
Jack Crawford, executive director.
Elizabeth Campbell from the Attorney General's Office for Independent Legal Advice.
James Monahan, Office of Attorney General's.
And do they need to be in this one or no? Okay. Okay, so under the board's rule regarding review or rehearing, R4-45-302, the board may grant a review or rehearing of a board decision for any of the following 7 causes affecting your rights. Number 1 is irregularity in the proceeding of the board or any order or abuse of discretion that deprived the moving party from a fair hearing. This thing across the top. Huh?
Are you looking at this chart?
I am.
Okay.
I'm at 4-2 now.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. misconduct of the board, its staff, or the administrative law judge. Number three is accident or surprise that could not have been prevented by ordinary prudence. Number four is newly discovered material evidence that could not, with reasonable diligence, have been discovered and proceeded at the produced at the hearing. Number five is excessive penalty. Number six is error in the admission or rejection of evidence or with other errors of law occurring at the hearing or during the progress of the proceedings. Or number seven is the finding of fact or decision is not justified by the evidence or contrary to law. If the board grants the request, it will specify the ground on which the review or rehearing is granted, and the review or rehearing shall cover only those matters not specified. If the board denies review or rehearing, the proceeding is concluded. So, to you, Ms. Maldonado, we have reviewed your request for a rehearing, and now we are going to give you time to specifically state which of the seven grounds you are requesting the rehearing for and why.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, if it's okay, if I may just, as a preliminary matter, since the board issued its order last month, Ms. Maldonado did reach out to board staff, and she did sign the previously offered consent agreement and non-disciplinary order. I'm not sure if the board members have a copy of that in their materials, but I think at this time, and I don't want to speak on behalf of Ms. Maldonado, but before we get into the substance of her petition for rehearing or review, if you were to accept the consent agreement, it would, in essence, make this proceeding moot and not necessary. In talking to Ms. Maldonado, and she's here and she'll be able to answer any questions that you have, she has indicated to me that the reason why she wasn't here for the hearing on January 16th was because she was not well. And she did bring with her this morning information indicating that she did go to urgent care 3 days after the administrative hearing. Again, she'll be able to speak to that, but I thought as a preliminary matter, you may want to consider the consent agreement.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I misspoke. The consent agreement is included in your materials. It starts at page 122.
Dated August 19th.
Yeah, August 19th.
It is, of course, the board would like to resolve this matter by accepting the consent agreement as signed by Ms. Maldonado. The board can do that at this point.
Okay.
Can I ask questions of board staff?
Of course.
So this was signed on August 19th. When did we receive this signed consent?
Madam Chair, Board Member Crawford, I cannot speak to the day it was signed. The consent agreement that we have indicates it was signed in August. I don't believe we received the signed consent agreement prior to the day of her appeal, which was, I believe, January 28th or January 30th.
Thank you.
And would we not be able to ask her questions until we decide whether we want to consider the rehearing, or can we ask her questions?
I think where you are now in the process is making a determination about whether or not you accept the post-signed consent agreement. I think now would be an opportune time to ask her questions regarding that consent agreement if you have questions.
Before we decide if we're willing to accept it.
Yes.
Okay. So, board members, if you've got questions for the licensee, now is the time.
In addition to the signed consent agreement, have you provided the required CE?
I do have it.
You have that with you?
Mm-hmm.
And have you paid your civil penalty?
Well, I was going to pay the civil penalty, but I was told to hold off on that until this meeting.
I have a question for you also. So, how did we kind of get to the point where we are?
Well, I had signed the agreement, sent it in, then I had found out that it was, because it was scanned, they couldn't read it. But in the 6 months, there was a lot of things going on, personal things.
So you signed it back in August, it's
yes.
Dated August
19th,
and you sent it in then.
I scanned it
and you never heard anything else about it?
Mm-hmm. Not to my knowledge.
You did not receive notification of the January hearing?
I did receive notification, and I was going to come to that, but I got really sick. So,
at the time of the January hearing, did you ask board staff or inquire with board staff if they were in receipt of this signed consent?
I did not.
And back in January, did you have any contact with the board staff of maybe having a different date set? Or
in January, after I found out that my license was revoked, I emailed and I called.
Right, but what? But before that?
No.
Okay.
Has board staff had a chance to review the CE that she currently has?
I don't think so. We don't. So, Madam Chair, Board Member Crawford, the standard operating response is that I'm not going to look for compliance on a continuing education or for the Sewell County until after the order has been issued.
Understood.
So,
mm-hmm.
We haven't done anything.
Okay, so what we're looking at right now is not even. We're kind of not even at the point of we're looking at a rehearing. We're just,
do we want to
accept the consent agreement, and then that would put this to rest.
Do you want to accept the standard non-disciplinary consent agreement in lieu of the prior decision, which was for revocation of license?
Okay.
Are you currently working?
Yeah.
Where?
Down in Bainwood.
And you're in good standing with them?
Yes.
Questions, board members?
I think that there's a responsibility that licensees have in fulfilling obligations for their licensure. I don't like the fact pattern. However, I appreciate that the consent agreement was signed. I would move for accepting the consent agreement.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of accepting the consent agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Nay. The motion passes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, could I ask that you indulge me for one more motion, and that would be just to vacate the administrative hearing or the underlying order that was issued in this case?
So moved.
Thank you.
We second that also?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a second to that discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. Okay.
Thank you for coming down today. We'll take care of everything else after the meeting. We'll get an order if you have questions.
Okay, this one's not here though. You don't see this anymore?
You have a copy of this for yourself?
Yeah. Yes, we're going to do a little jumping around here, and we are going to, unless you want me to finish your section?
No, before you do, I can come back.
Okay. We're going to jump to 3E1, which is consideration, discussion, and possible action on informal interviews, and the board will call the case of John Clark, case 2019-RCE-0175.
220.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here today. I'll give Jack a minute to get settled there.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an informal interview. I believe the board originally reviewed this in December. And at that time, we didn't have all the records out of Glendale Police Department. We still still have not received a 100% response from the Glendale Police Department, but the DPS crime lab provided us with the results of the blood draw, which is what the whole issue is about. I can give a summary if the board wants to hear a summary of the case.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
This is case number. This is case number 2019 RCE 0175. RCP John Clark holds license number 10688. That license was originally issued on October 18th, 2012, and set to expire November 10th, 2020. Last reported employer that we have is Abrazo Arizona Heart Hospital. RCP Clark does have a non-disciplinary action in his history from 2017, wherein there was a consent agreement for continuing the education audit. Nothing was found in the public records access criminal search except for this particular matter. RCP Clark reported self-disclosed an arrest that occurred on or around July 10th, 2019 in Glendale, Arizona. The board subpoenaed that information, and those records are available for you in your materials. He did respond to the initial allegation within an appropriate time frame. His response is in my case summary, where he details his memory of the case and ending up at the Glendale Police Department. I don't have any further questions. I don't have any further comments. R.C. Clark is represented by counsel. She is here. Just generally, both R.C. Clark and Ms. Miller have been responsive to the board's requests from day one. We did receive some additional information in the form of a certificate of some alcohol awareness that came in last night. I think that is the last page of this particular case. In your materials, there is a parallel criminal case that's pending. However, I don't believe there's any disposition or any movement on that criminal case that I am aware of. Okay. I don't have anything further unless there's
questions. Thank you. Thank you again for being here. If you could raise your right hand, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Wait, that's my left hand. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay, thank you. So we're going to give you, kind of tell us what's going on, and the board will likely have some questions for you, so we will have conversation or questions after you tell us kind of a synopsis.
Okay. I'll tell you what I remember. I had been doing yard work and whatnot, and had some Truly spiked seltzer. Went to do some errands. When I was at the store, I got some wine for my wife and I to enjoy later that evening after she got off work. Had about an hour, hour and a half before she got off work, so I thought, well, I'll just go take a walk down by. There's an area by us called Tres Rios, which is, flat, nice walking area. So when I got to Tres Rios, the last thing I remember, and they have a lower barricade that you step over, I meant just keep animals out or whatever. The last thing I remember was stepping over that barricade. Next recollection I have was showing a Glendale police officer the best bait to do a draw blood out of. And that's all I remember. I was a couple months into some new medications that evidently would have interactions with alcohol. I've gone to a neurologist, a psychiatrist, and my own doc. The neurologist did a 20-minute EEG, and that was followed up by a 3-day EEG. He said that there were some spiking results going on in the 72-hour EEG. And he was looking at my medications. He said, this particular
medication can lower the threshold for seizure. And he's kind of feeling like it was the perfect storm. It was, my wife says, I don't hydrate. I think she's right now. But combination of heat, dehydration, alcohol, and medications that may have caused seizure activity. Another diagnosis would be transient global amnesia, which I'd never heard of before until that happened. And was talking with my brother on the phone, and he goes, something like that happened to me too, but was diagnosed as transient global amnesia. And in my research and whatnot, I found that it does have some family, it can run in families. It's not very strong in that respect, but it can run in families. So at this point in time, information I got yesterday from counsel, I was mortified and shocked at blood alcohol level. I have no recollection of drinking that much. In my heart of hearts, I believe that would have come back within legal limits. That being said, it is what it is, and I'm taking responsibility for that. Nobody forced me, you know, whether I remember it or not. Don't take even a glass of wine unless I'm with my wife. We go out to dinner. My wife always drives. I'm not going to put myself in that situation again. It was humiliating. It shook me to my core. And that's it.
I think that the discussion on the medication, the potential medical issue, the whole perfect storm, that's not an attempt, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's not an attempt to shirk responsibility and say that it somehow caused him to drink enough alcohol to give him a BAC of what the BAC was. I think it more, he has been searching for some type of explanation as to how this type of behavior can come out of a human being, because it's certainly not something that he had ever experienced before. This is not only his first DUI, but his first ever criminal charge or encounter with the police. So I think it's been difficult for him to accept and figure out why on earth he would act in such a manner and behave that way. And it's certainly not an attempt to diminish the conduct, but I think he took you through sort of what his process has been over the last 6 months of trying to figure out how on earth, not only not remembering behaving like that, but then reading it in the police report and trying to figure out what the origin is or was.
Okay, thank you. Board members, questions?
At our last meeting, I recall, did we ever get in a statement from his physician?
Yes, we provided, I'm sorry, you were talking about this.
Stating that he was medically cleared to return to patient care?
No. I mean, not that I recall. There wasn't any type of worry about that. We got the diagnosis that he mentioned. There was a letter someplace about...
There is a letter, and it was only a couple of sentences long, but it did say that he was fit to practice.
Yeah. And do we have an explanation for the positive drug screen?
No. What? Oh, it was a prescription med. My understanding...
We have a copy of the prescription? Because typically they're sponsoring him or
have an opportunity to review that.
In which case it would not show positive anymore.
Correct.
I can't answer that. I don't know if, depending on which labs they go to, some send them out to MROs, some do not. I haven't asked for any of that information. But after that drug screen came in, we did receive a prescription for a med that would have hit that way. Am I answering your question? Maybe you can clarify that.
So the substance, so after my client self-reported, he was asked to do, was it a blood test or a hair follicle test?
Hair follicle test.
Took the hair follicle test, tested positive, and then after that we provided his proof of prescription.
To whom?
To Mr. Comfort.
But but not to wherever ran the drug screen?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
So United Drug Testing Laboratories never asked you for a copy of your prescription?
No.
I would have thought they would
ask you to fill out the screening questionnaire.
That doesn't normally happen.
It depends on the contract.
Okay, no, go ahead.
It depends on which lab, whether or not the request involves that. Sometimes you have to specify that it gets sent to MRO. I've run into those situations.
And without violating RCP Clark's HIPAA, the medication that RCP Clark is currently taking or did take that would result in this positive result has been reviewed by a medical provider and would deem this as an accurate quantification for that medication.
I have no answer to that because I haven't asked for that.
Okay. And can you tell me what page I can find this? Is the provider's note saying he is deemed medically clear to practice?
One reference is on page 224, which is a letter to me, or email to me.
This is from her attorney?
Yes.
From his attorney, excuse me.
Yes.
So I don't have a letter signed by an MD or DO.
There should have been attached to that email.
There is a reference to that.
Looks like the email's from December 10th.
Right, but that's not from the physician.
Mrs. Miller, do you have a copy of that letter in your material?
I can email it.
I can go upstairs to try to find it.
And they don't know
from the staff perspective, we got a positive hit. We have a prescription for that positive hit. I didn't follow up on any further than that. As far as quantification, quality, quantity, I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to do that to us based upon the results, whether it's an overuse or underuse or anything like that.
Here's the issue I have. I have a drug screen that comes up positive. I have a statement saying that he's currently taking a medication that may result in that positive drug screen. But I have nothing to me that indicates what that drug is, nor do I have a statement from an MRO or physician saying that that is a qualified level or an appropriate level. And I don't see a letter from a medical provider saying he's deemed competent or fit to return to work. So I don't really know how to progress with this case at the moment.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to motion to table.
In hopes that we get the letter and an MRO.
I would like to see documentation from a licensed medical provider saying that RCP Clark is deemed competent and capable to return to work to take care of patients, to perform medical care. I would also like to see a letter from a medical provider stating that the quantity of medication that RCP Clark was taking would result in this quantification for a drug screen.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, members of the board. So that would be a motion to continue this matter and to direct staff to get that information that you're looking for to substantiate that?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Make sure. Thank you.
Okay. So that is the motion. Do we have a second to that? And then we can have discussion. Do we have a second to that motion? So we have a second to the motion.
We'll move on to discussion.
Okay. So now we can discuss it. Jack, do you have something to say?
Just from, I guess, practical staff standpoint, this happened back in July. And we were, I don't think we were latent and you know, we weren't late in getting the initial report to the board. So I'm not sure how protecting the public if we postpone this again. And as far as the letter goes, I mean, he's been practicing since then. So I don't know, is that something that you and your client can get for us? Is that okay with you?
The letter from the doctor? Is that what you're...
Yeah.
And the letter from the doctor?
Later in the meeting, maybe? Because I think I can...
As far as a split sample from when this error was done, probably not going to be able to go back and reassess that because of the time frame.
So I don't know what medication he was on.
Well, we do.
So I thought this was a discussion around the motion that's on the table.
It is.
I'm seconding. Okay. So in reference to the motion on the table, I like the motion. The only thing that I would add to it is specifically that not just any physician, the physician that gave the diagnosis. So not just anyone. Because I'm looking to circle back to the matter. And I do think that the MRO, if we're not talking about necessarily going back to when the drug test occurred, but an assessment on the actual test results, the prescription medication provided and whether or not it would be within the threshold that you stated, I think it's perfectly acceptable. I would also add that I don't think that, at least from my perspective, that the board can make a decision on an action relevant to public safety in light of the present circumstances. And so if we're accountable to the public and protection of the public and we don't have the information that we need to justify an action, we're in the position of
So you're actually asking for an evaluation about whether or not there's an addiction here with one or two
or abuse of a prescription substance, or it may be completely appropriate and it may be a drug-to-drug interaction.
So,
but at the moment, I am going off of his attorney's statement.
What about PMP records? Would that be sufficient to show that he's not abusing? Because the particular drug that's prescribed would show up on his PMP record, and if when did they first prescribe you?
That was like at the beginning of summer, maybe late spring.
So you may have several months of fill dates, and I don't know if that would satisfy the particular issue, or if you're more specifically looking for on this occasion when the DUI was earned, if there was an excessive
Well, so that is a good question. Would seeing fill dates of this particular prescription satisfy your question of how much is being taken?
No.
Okay.
My issue with this is that I need more evidence from licensed medical professionals to tell me that if he's taking this medication, BID or Q6 or whatever, that this quantity would be appropriate
for that
dosage and that quantity. The I am not an expert in amnesia, so I can't sit here and say that he is or is not safe to the public.
Okay.
I would want a statement from a licensed medical provider to tell me that he is safe to practice care with this diagnosis.
Which she says she has in an email.
Okay.
So
I don't have it in front of me.
I understand. But you still want the MRO or a physician saying that the prescription he is taking would show in this right here.
Correct.
Okay. So that's what we're looking for. So if that's something you can get your hands on before, you know, in the next couple of hours, then we can table it to this morning. If it's not, then it's going to be the question on the table is a continuance. So before we do our vote, I will ask you if that's something you feel like you can get your hands on in the next 2 hours.
The letter saying that he's fit to practice, yes, but not the MRO review.
Okay. So the motion we have on the table is a continuance. That was the word you used, right, Seamus? Seeking those two items. That's the motion on the table.
Correct.
All in favor? Oh, is there any more discussion? Okay. All in favor of the continuance with those two items, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. Okay.
Does the board want, so something the board has not done in these cases is order a full assessment evaluation for drug dependency, which would be from an independent practitioner that either they would provide or the board would specify. Is that something that you want to do in this particular matter?
In my opinion, what I would want is whoever is the treating provider that gave this diagnosis to tell me that he is medically competent to return to work and safe to return to practicing respiratory care. And then I would want a physician, a toxicologist, whoever, MRO, to review this drug screen panel that I currently have, identify does this quantification match the dosage and the script that he currently has or possesses at the time that he was taking that medication.
So you don't want an independent evaluation for any type of different thing?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. We are going to stay in 3E, and I'm going to try and take care of the people who signed in who are here. So 3E2, and the board will call the case of Bryce Hawks. Case 2019-RCE-0366. Come on up, Bryce. Hawks or Hakes?
Hawks.
Okay.
276.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2019-RCE-0366. R.C. Hawks was audited for continuing education after his license renewal. His license renewal time frame was from February 6, 2018 to November 16, 2019. He spent 24 hours of approved continuing education for the renewal time frame, however, did not provide proof that he completed two of the five live continuing education hours. So he failed the audit by not supplying 2 hours of the five live hours. I don't have anything further. He is here to respond to the board. This is an informal interview.
Okay. So we will be able to ask questions back and forth. I'm going to ask that you raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Okay. So kind of tell us how we got here.
Well, I don't really know. I thought that I submitted everything. That's it, yeah.
You thought you had all your live credits?
Yes, I was under the impression that I had paid for three that I thought were live, and then we did three at work, which should count. So
I'm guessing the three that he thought were live were not live credits.
I'm not sure. I don't know which one he's which ones he's considering live.
Well, I would imagine it's not the ones.
What were the courses that you took at work?
It was a clinical sims. It's basically you just go through everything, like the equipment, and how to use it there.
Talk to me about this skills lab that you participated
That's
in.
That's the one.
Talk to me about what you did in the skills lab.
Well, we are put in a patient simulation where we start setting up equipment, and we go through all the equipment we have there. We go through BiPAP, the ventilator, high flow, and then nitric, and we have to interpret ABGs. You're put in a simulation where you're just the person in the room, and they talk to you through a TV and tell you things that happen, and you have to fix it.
Who facilitated that?
St. Joseph.
Can you be more specific?
Like, the person who did it?
Yeah.
Her name is Dawn.
Is Dawn an educator, or is Dawn a member of the respiratory staff?
She's a member of the respiratory.
Okay. So this was a course that was facilitated in person. It sounds like you had hands-on curriculum, hands-on materials, by setting up BiPAPs, by performing assessments. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So you got 3 CEUs for that course. I would count that as live.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do too.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
But there needs to be 5 live. So what were the online live courses that you did?
I'm not too sure. I thought they said they were live on there. I did part of the ARC.
That's what I was trying to find. Is the
yeah,
online
when I go back.
Ones.
Did you currently take ACLS or PALS?
No, not last year. They stopped requiring it.
So you have 3 live, you need 2 more live.
Right, and he's sick. Now, sometimes the respiratory care journal ones are live.
But they specify that on the certificate.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to see, is if anything, I mean, using streaming technology.
Everything else is traditional, non-traditional. By ARC, not traditional, it's not considered live.
Okay, yeah. So we're missing 2 live.
So why didn't you sign the consent?
I didn't receive anything.
You did not receive consent from this board with a civil offering a civil penalty?
No.
Did we send one?
Send one on every case.
Okay. If we were to offer you a civil consent, well, now you're going to ask that question. Ignore that statement.
Right, because there's no options.
Yeah.
It's a $50 civil penalty and 2 hours of CE. If the board would like, they can maybe offer a motion.
Oh, yeah, here's the consent.
And if it's not signed.
It's not signed, but we sent, I mean, there was one sent out.
Yeah.
Is your address current with the board?
It is. Yes.
And you didn't. And is your email current?
Yes.
And is it sent out by email and real mail? And you didn't get either of those.
No.
Did you receive a copy of your current licensure?
No.
Of your renewed license?
No.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a copy of your license?
The first one I got, yeah, but not my renewed.
So you don't have a copy of your own current license right now?
No.
Your employer did not request a copy of your current licensure.
No.
I'm just saying, if I were you, I'd have a copy of my current license at all times.
Yeah. Well, I looked on the website, and it says that it's renewed, so I just assumed that you mail something.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we offer the consent agreement for a civil penalty of $50. And completion of 2 live CEUs paid within 90 days.
We don't have to offer it where we're at.
I can order it.
Yes, because we're in a formal interview.
Then I'm going to order that we have him sign the consent to pay the $50 civil penalty and complete the 2 required CEUs.
By when?
By 90 days.
And if not?
Then we move to a formal hearing.
You can't order him to sign the consent agreement.
We can order it.
You can motion and make an order. Without signing the consent agreement, you can actually issue an order today if the board so chooses.
Okay. Then I would like to motion to issue the order for a $50 civil penalty, completion of the 2 required CEUs.
Within 90 days.
Payable within 90 days, and if not signed, we'll move to a formal hearing.
And is that motion for a disciplinary or non-disciplinary?
Non-disciplinary at this time.
Madam Chair, members of the board, if I could ask you to take a look at 295 of your materials, and if you could include the findings of facts and conclusions of law as set forth in the consent agreement and your findings of facts and conclusions
mm-hmm.
of law in the board order, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so it would be so one just like this, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a motion. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes.
So the board is issuing an order for you to pay a civil penalty of total of $50, $25 an hour that you're short, and get those 2 hours live within 90 days.
All right.
And then it's resolved. All right.
And my very strong suggestion to you is that you make sure your address and your email address are current with the board. because you are responsible for having a copy of your current license on your person while you're working at all times. You should be able to hand it to anybody who asks you at any time, any day. Okay?
Do you have questions?
Do I just pay online?
So after you get the order, I'll send you some instructions on how to take care of the compliance portion of it.
Okay.
And it's not due for 90 days.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you
for coming down to
this. Thank you.
Oh, it's past 9:30. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize that.
I apologize. Well, before you leave, you're issuing that as a board order. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? Would you mind if we went into executive session for legal advice? I just want to point out something in your statutes.
I motion that we move to executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Say nay. That motion passes. Okay, so we're not done with this case then, right?
What?
Are we not done with that case?
No, if we can just, if you can put just sit here tight.
Okay.
We're done with the case unless the board makes a motion to reopen it at this time. Folks, we're going in, into executive session. That's where the board receives legal advice from its attorney. We're going to exit this room. You're welcome to stay here. When we come back into the room, we'll go into open session after the executive session. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your patience, everyone. We are back in session. Oh, now we are.
Me?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to reopen case related to Bryce Hawks, case number 2019RCE0366.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to reopen the case. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Okay, here we are. Hello, welcome back.
RCP Hawks, I'd like to offer you, I'd like to order a non-disciplinary order for completion of the required CE of two live CEUs. Completion within 90 days. And I'll make that my motion.
Okay, can I ask that we entertain a first motion to rescind the prior
motion? Oh, you rescind your other one, yes.
All right, so I'll motion to rescind the previous motion. That was made.
Second.
Motion and a second to rescind the previous consent agreement that was ordered. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Okay, that motion passes. Now you can do another one.
I'll make a motion that we order a non-disciplinary order for completion of the two required continuing education hours for the live CE.
Within 90 days.
Within 90 days.
And that would be pursuant to ARS 32-3553-GH6.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a second motion. No, I guess it's the only motion now. We have a
second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. You're probably super confused, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So, can I explain to him?
Sure.
The first motion that... the first consent that we talked about with you had to do with a civil penalty that you had to pay and do your CEUs.
Okay.
We've rescinded that, and we've issued a different order that is just CEUs you have to provide to us.
Okay.
Okay, so the civil penalty was removed.
Okay.
So you've got 90 days to get us those CEUs, and if that does not happen, we'll go to a formal hearing.
Perfect.
Okay?
Thank you.
I stand by my statement about your license, though.
Okay.
Not rescinding that.
Forget.
Okay, thank you. Do you have something to say?
Is it an appropriate time for the board to give direction to staff on the future of these audits from here on out?
No, that's something that we're going to have to agendize it maybe later. And that's something that we can stay.
It creates a situation where we
understood.
Have bifurcated orders and resolutions for cases.
It's going to be
okay.
Yeah, I don't like bunk.
Okay. meantime, we're moving along, yes? Okay. So, we are going to 3C, consideration, discussion, and possible action on administrative hearings. And the board is going to call the case of Krista Schaefer, case 2019-RCE-0201. Krista, are you here? Krista Schaefer. So I know which script I have. Are you a motion to deem here?
No.
No.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I did have one preliminary matter before we begin.
Okay.
I do have a signed consent agreement from RCP Schaefer. She reached out to us. We've been in contact. And she was willing to sign the consent agreement. And so if the board would like, in lieu of a formal hearing, you can accept, modify, or reject the consent agreement.
I motion to accept the signed consent agreement.
Second.
And
could you also make a motion to vacate the hearing?
Not informing the hearing. Vacate the hearing.
Okay. Are we good? I don't know what's going on over there.
So you still need a second?
Okay, so we have a motion to accept the consent agreement and vacate the hearing. We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Is this for a disciplinary action or a non-disciplinary action?
No, this would be a non-disciplinary.
Then you can do it all in favor.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor of accepting the signed consent agreement, say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you.
I know exactly what you
said. How can you do that in the previous case? Is it the same consent process?
Yep.
Because
this is disciplinary. Exactly. What he's thinking. Okay. All right. I'm going to go back to 3E.
Madam Chair, is it possible to complete the formal matters so that I may be excused from
that? Yeah, you're part of B, right?
Yes, the remaining formal matter, according to my calculations, is Just and Jolie Espinosa.
Okay, absolutely.
Thank you.
So we're going to go to 3B and call the case of Anjali Espinosa, case 2019-RCE-0242. Let me find that script.
100.
Okay, this is the time set for the board's consideration of respondents' request for rehearing or review of the board's order issued in case 2019-RCE-0242. Anjali Espinosa, you are present.
Yes.
And are you represented by legal counsel? No, he's not with me. He's not against you. Okay. And is the state present?
Madam Chair, members of the board, the state is Mark Harris.
Okay, thank you. We'll do a quick introductions here. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I'm chair of the board.
Alan Crawford, vice chair.
Kathy Rainier, board member.
Michael Bellier, board member.
Elizabeth Campbell from the AG's office, providing independent advice.
Jack Crawford, executive director.
James Monahan, attorney general's office.
Thank you. Under the board's rule regarding review or rehearing R445302, the board may grant a review or rehearing of a board's decision for any of the following seven causes materially affecting your rights. One is irregularity in the proceedings of the board or any order or abuse of discretion that deprive the moving party of fair hearing. Two is misconduct of the board, its staff, or the administrative law judge. Three is accident or surprise that could not have been prevented by ordinary prudence. Four is newly discovered material evidence that could not, with reasonable diligence, have been discovered and produced at the hearing. Five is excessive penalty. Six is error in the administrative, error in admission or rejection of evidence or other errors of law occurring at the hearing or during the progress or proceedings. Or seven is the findings of fact or decision is not justified by the evidence or contrary to law. If the board grants the request, it will specify the grounds on which the review or rehearing is granted. And if the board denies review or rehearing, the proceeding is concluded. So we've got your information here, and now we're going to allow you to let us to specifically state which of the seven grounds you are relying upon and why.
Madam Chairman, before Ms. Espinosa addresses you, if it's okay, the state and board staff are in receipt of the signed consent agreement. It is dated February 18th. It's my understanding through my conversations with Ms. Espinosa that she has cured her deficiencies and paid the civil penalty. I'll defer to board staff for confirmation of that. It is also my understanding through my conversations with Ms. Espinosa this morning that the reason why she wasn't here last month is because there was some confusion between the date of the board meeting. She thought, I think it was on the 19th, and that's why she wasn't here. So before we get into the, if you will, the merits of the motion for rehearing or review, we offer the signed consent agreement for your review, and if you accept it, then I would just ask that we vacate the board order and the administrative hearing in this matter.
But we can ask her questions right now.
Yes.
Before that decision. Okay. So my first question to you is going to be, how did it get to this point?
It got to the point where I didn't have a job. I have a whole lot of kids, so it was really hard for me to get CEUs at that point, but I did the best I could because, you know, you got to pay the AARC for free CEUs, which I didn't have that money because I didn't have a job, or you got to pay, you know, for free, you know, for, how do you call it, other CEUs. So either way, you got to pay, which I didn't have the money, especially with all of my kids. So I did the best that I could, and I tried, and until I got a job. Once I got the job, I did correspond with the board. She said, that's fine, just send me the CEUs from the conference that I went to, which I have here, the receipt that I did go to the conference, and I have those CEUs once I had the job.
Okay, and have those CEUs been turned into the board?
Correct.
And has your civil penalty been taken care of? That's part of the consent?
The fine?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we have,
I have paid
verification
that.
Of that?
I have no reason for the past been paid. I don't have it in the materials.
Okay.
I don't check for compliance unless we have. I have a signed order.
And you didn't have the signed order.
So
because it just happened.
On the 18th of November.
Mm-hmm. Which was 2 days ago, right.
We're saying you didn't have the signed order because it just happened 2 days ago.
Well, I didn't execute an order because the consent agreement wasn't signed previously, correct?
Right, okay.
So it's not a compliance issue until we have a final order, right?
Again, it is the RCP, the licensee's responsibility, in my opinion, to ensure that they are compliant with the rules and expectations of holding a license. Although I'm not in favor of the way that this has occurred, I will make a motion to accept the signed consent agreement and vacate the administrative hearing.
And you vacate the previously issued order.
And to vacate the previously issued order, correct.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Nay. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Beth, are you not here for any of these other ones?
I'm not here for any of these other ones.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the other thing we should probably take into consideration in these future cases is the false statement on the renewal application when they say they've got all their 20 hours.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes, there needs to be a lot of conversation about these now.
So if we're going to change it, we're going to change it.
Yep. Good luck to you. All right, we will go back to 3E, and the board will call the case of, let's see, Wendia Kors. I probably said that wrong. Case 2019-RCE-0370. How do you pronounce it?
Wendia Kors.
Wendia Kors, okay. Sorry if I mispronounced.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2019-RCE-0370. RCP Coons was audited for continued education after her license renewal. Her licensing time frame was from October 21st of 2017 through October 25th of 2019. We didn't receive any hours during the audit, and we did... Basically, she failed the audit for not submitting 20 hours of the required continuing education. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. So, no hours were submitted to us.
I faxed them in twice, or emailed them.
And did you get confirmation of that email?
It was on my phone, and my phone died, and I had to get a new one.
Have you turned those CEUs into the board?
No.
Okay. So when you received notification of this board hearing, you did not submit those CEUs at that time?
I thought I was supposed to do it here because I emailed them twice.
Are those the ones you emailed?
Yes.
Did you receive your a consent agreement in the mail?
I did. Not in the mail. I got it on the email, but like I said, it was on my phone. Like when I was trying to print out everything, it died. My phone.
So
I didn't, and it didn't transfer over a lot of my emails.
And you didn't think to call the board staff to inquire?
I called them once on, and then I sent him the second email.
Do you realize that? If the board sends a consent agreement or something to you, to any licensee, saying my phone died is kind of a weak excuse for not following through on your professional license?
But I did follow through. I emailed them again. I just don't have a confirmation because it's on the other phone.
Regardless, we have no evidence of you submitting those CEUs, and you have no evidence of submitting those CEUs. So what I'm going to recommend is that we have the board staff review the CEUs that you currently have in front of you. And if we have the required amount of CEUs that are within the corrected licensure period, then we can vacate this.
Let's just postpone it. We'll accept the CEUs. We'll take a quick ritual, take a quick look at them, see if we have them all, and then we'll...
Perfect. So I'll motion to postpone.
So it's a motion, I think, to just a table?
Yeah.
It's a table. I'll motion to table.
Okay.
Second. We have a motion and a second to table while the CEUs are explored. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. All right.
Board table.
Thank you.
No.
time real quick.
Okay.
In your time frame.
All right, I'm going to try and still take care of the people that I have known signed in. So we're going to go to 3F. And the board will call the case of Mercedes Cruz, case 2020-RCE-0013.
I'm trying to get one summary.
Page 510 is where it starts.
I think this one is.
That's not your summary, but that's good.
Chair, members of the board, this is a continuing education audit. The renewal time frame is from January 1st, 2018 to January 5th, 2020. When we completed the audit, we were short 5 live hours. The note that I have on the audit is that last minute CEUs are not live. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay. Because we are in an allegation stage, thank you for being here, first of all. You will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know. After that time, the board will have conversations with each other, but nothing back and forth with you. Okay, so the floor is yours. Tell us what we need to know about this.
Okay, so I pretty much renewed my license in January, and like you said, 5 of those were rejected. I did receive the letter in the mail, and said there that I'm supposed to sign the consent agreement and turn it in by February 10th, I believe, so that's like 10 days ago. And somehow I know it's my fault. I forgot all about it, slipped my mind, and did not turn that in. And that's why I'm here now, hoping to be able to still sign that consent and turn it in. And pay the fee of $125, and will promise to finish the CEs that needed.
Question to board staff. What was the date of her expiration?
1-5-2020.
And it appears that most of these CEs were completed on January 4th of 2020. Just
day before. Do you have an ACLS NRP or PALS from last year's?
No.
Not so it's
Okay, so we do not currently have a signed consent agreement. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
That's correct.
This is an initial review. Board may want to contemplate offering the consent agreement. If it's signed, it completes the case. If not, we hold an informal interview at the next meeting.
Well,
we're at an allegation.
This is an initial allegation.
So I'm going to make a motion that we offer the consent agreement. And if not signed, we'll move to an informal.
Okay. We have a motion. Second. And we have a second to offer a consent agreement to rectify this. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. there anyone left here who is on the agenda for an agenda item who did not sign in or I did not call your name? What's your name?
I didn't hear that.
Christina Wilson.
D1. F4.
She's at 4. And D1.
Oh, I see.
Same person?
Oh,
yes.
Same
person. Is D1 and F4 the same person?
F4. Yes.
And am I calling it as D1 or F4? Because those are very different.
D1.
Okay. All right. So, the board will call the case of Christina Wilson, case 2019-RCE-0044.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2020-RCE-0044. It involves Christina E. Wilson, holder of license number 12117. This license was originally issued January 23rd of 2017 and set to expire on February 17th of 2022. The last reported employer was Dignity St. Joseph's. We do have a complaint history. And there is no current public access criminal record that's found in my search. RCP Wilson failed a for-cause drug test. Let's see, we received that information around February 17th, and that information is in your packets. I set this as a summary suspension proceeding, given the positive drug test results. It is also agendized as an initial review if the board decides not to proceed with this particular agendized item. I don't have any other questions. I don't have any questions unless the board has them for me. RCP Wilson is here to respond.
And because of where it's agendized, we can have a conversation with her. Okay. All right. Thank you, first of all, for being here. We want to give you a few minutes to state your case and tell us why we're here, and then the board will likely have questions for you.
I would prefer to have a conversation with the resources executive session because it involves personal medical records and health information and sensitive subjects that I do not wish to hear.
Okay. So we need a motion for that?
We do.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we move this case into executive session for the purpose of protecting her medical confidentiality.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Okay. Motion passes.
Folks, we're going into executive session. Same as before. We'll stay here in the room. We're going to go to a different area and come back when we're done. Thank you.
If we unplug these, it's going to die. So we can bring it with us.
Yes.
It should be charged. It should stay charged
enough.
Yeah.
You should be able to take it with you.
And then just plug what I need to roll with her. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go out that door.
For all these things.
I know.
Yeah.
Gigantic laptop. Sorry. Okay.
Jack. She has 22 and a half. She's
22
and a half.
She's 22 and a half. Okay, when we come back, you'll have to set up for that.
Yes, and I'm all right, we're here, but we're just waiting for the executive director, our attorney general, and the licensee to come back. So just hang with us for just a minute.
Thank you.
Can I run to the bathroom real quick then?
Motion, having completed executive session, I'd like to make a motion that we order a summary suspension until a consent not to practice can be signed.
And, Madam Chair, members of the board, can I just ask that in your motion you include a finding to the effect that the board's ordering summary suspension pursuant to 32, 35, 53E, is, and I'm looking for the buzzwords, because the public's health, safety, and welfare imperatively requires emergency action.
Absolutely. So the motion for summary suspension until a consent not to practice can be signed pursuant to 32, 35, 53, section E, for the purpose of the public's health and safety.
Thank you. And is the basis for the board taking this emergency action the information that board staff has presented to you in your materials?
The purpose of that action would be based upon what I heard from executive session.
Which was?
And materials
presented. And the materials presented in 1-6.
Case number 2020, RCE 0044.
Yes.
Yep.
Page 150.
Okay, you got it. Okay. You get with that motion?
Yes, I just want to just make sure that in the materials we reference the possible acts of unprofessional conduct. And yes, on page.
I'm sorry, it's page 151.
Thank you.
And it would be the medical review officer's report.
And then the, I believe that board staff has presented to you in your materials a document entitled Allegations of Unprofessional Conduct, and in it are the statutes that we will reference in the motion for, or I'm sorry, the order for summary suspension. And
correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so we have that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion on that? Because it's a suspension, we're going to do a roll call vote. So, Vice Chair Crawford, we'll start with you.
Alan Crawford, yes.
Kent Vanier, yes.
Michael Ballard, yes.
And Tracy Kagan, yes. Aye. Okay, so the motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your patience out there, everyone. I know we've been kind of in and out today. It's really unusual, but it does happen some days. Okay, anybody else that is on the agenda for an agenda item that did not sign in or signed in on the wrong sheet? Okay, then I'm just going to go back to the top wherever I left out. And it looks like we're going to 3E, and the board will call the case of Catherine Keys, case 2019-RCE-0329. Catherine Keys.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an informal interview, and RCE Keys has not appeared for the informal interview. It limits the board's decisions.
We can dismiss or move on.
So I'll make a motion that we move to a formal hearing.
This is the one you're tabling?
Is this what?
This is the one you're tabling?
No.
Okay.
No, tabled number 4.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So we have a motion to go to a formal hearing. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second for a formal hearing. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. The board, we are going to stay in E, which is an informal interviews, and the board will call the case of Robert Miller, case 2019-RCE-0348.
It's RCP Miller here.
Here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is another informal interview for a failed CE audit, and RCP Miller has not appeared at the informal interview.
Okay.
I make a motion that we move to a formal.
Second.
Motion and a second for a formal hearing. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. That motion passes. We will move on to the case of Stephen Pugh, case 2019-RCE-0309. Stephen?
Madam Chair, I think that the rest of these, I believe, are CE audits 6 through 10.
Okay. Can we do them as a group?
I would suggest that.
Okay, so last call. Stephen Pugh, are you here? Rodolfo Sanchez, are you here? Emily Shunk, are you here? Cynthia Cedillos, are you here? And Sandra Utley, are you here? Okay, so we are going to call or bulk 6 through 10. 3E, 6 through 10.
Can we look at Emily Shunk?
Separately?
Yeah, it looks like. Can you take a look at it right now? I don't think.
What page? Oh, here.
408. I don't think it should be grouped in.
So that one's not CEUs?
Correct.
Thank you.
So I'm going to take that away. We're going to go 3E, 6, 7, 9, 10. 6, 7, 9, 10. Do we have a motion for that?
I'll make a motion that we move items under 3E, 6, 7, 9, and 10 to a formal hearing.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. Okay. We will call the case of Emily Shunk. Case 2019-RCE-0215. Who is also not here, but we couldn't group her together.
Would the board like a summary on this? Or?
Please.
So this is case number 2019-RCE-0215. The respondent is Emily C. Shunk, holder of license number 5977. We do have one or two prior actions on her license, one from 2014. It looks like the other one was from 2003. I don't have any additional information in the public access criminal record search other than what is at issue in this particular case. There are one, if not more, criminal cases pending in Pima County that were not reported to us. That case number CR 2019-2623. They involve DUI and endangerment charges. We have not received a response to the initial complaint, and we did not get notified within the appropriate time frame of the criminal arrest. I can tell you we do have to do a little more work on this. I sent a subpoena to the court, got cursory information. I need to get information from the police department so that we have detailed information on the arrest. I believe this was presented to the grand jury who issued an indictment, and I think that indictment is included in your materials. Looks like it starts on page 414. There's a minute order, and then I believe I received the indictment, which basically parallels that minute order. I don't have any further information. The respondent is not here.
Has this respondent been in communication with you?
No.
And has this respondent answered or responded to the initial complaint notification?
No. I called her early on. So I suspect that she's also in the middle or a newly finished divorce. This came in as an anonymous complaint online. I suspect the person reporting it was the either ex-spouse or future ex-spouse. And I called her early on and did talk with her, but didn't get her to report the incident or anything like that. I've had no further communication.
So she has not answered our initial complaint notification, though?
No.
Okay. So a couple of concerns that I have with this is, one, this appears to be repeated behavior. This person was placed on an order of probation back in 2014, it would appear. This behavior appears to be repeating itself. And we also, failing to respond to the board is also an area of concern for me. She is not present today. My thought behind this would be, I know that the court is still going through its process. That does not, in my opinion, alleviate her responsibilities to this board, and therefore I would move that we move this to a formal hearing.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second? No second? I'll second it. Oh, we've got a second and a third. Discussion? All in favor of moving to a formal hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Who is the second, please?
Michael, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. We will go back to consideration and action on investigation of possible unprofessional conduct, and the board will call the case of Lindsay Handwerk, case 2020, RCE 0017.
Both this and the next case are both continuing education audits. Do you want to block them or just
individual? So we just have these two. Yeah, we'll block them. So 3F. 1 and 2 are CE cases. If the board is okay putting them together.
Joanne Grenier is not here.
So Lindsay not here. Joanne? Not here. Okay. Going once, going once.
Then I'm going to move this to a informal. I'll motion to move to an informal.
No consent offer.
We offered a consent, correct?
Right. Well, we're an allegation right now.
But we've offered them a consent agreement.
Oh, yes. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So you motion to go to an informal interview.
Correct.
We have a motion. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
Motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes.
What was the case? Who was the... Rachel, which... Continuing education.
That would be
E4.
Thank you.
Am I recalling that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we will call the case again of Wendy Coons, case 2019-RCE-0370, which we tabled shortly ago. Shortly ago, that's what I was gonna
say. Rachel, can you let the board know what the results are of the...
Yes. She has 22 and a half hours. She has the 5-11 and she has the ethics. And they're all within her legal time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I will make a motion to accept those CEUs and vacate the hearing.
Second.
Dismiss.
And dismiss.
Okay. Michael, are you okay because you changed to dismiss?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion and a second has been on the table. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you for bringing this down today. Appreciate it.
Okay, that brings us to 3G, which is discussion and action on executive director's report. And Jack, that is you. Did I cover everything else? Okay. That's you, Jack. Looks like your licensing report starts on 531.
I'm getting there.
I'm just trying to help.
You and help you are.
Yeah.
I just need to get a little more organized, apparently.
You know, I don't think it's you today. How it is. All good.
Kathy, you want to give a quick licensing report, and then we'll... While I'm looking for some information.
Sure. Okay, application report. We currently have 91 applications that are pending.
Wow.
This month we issued 35. The fee waiver applications, we had 9, of which 6 of them were approved.
Wow.
We have no volunteer registrations. Late renewal applications pending right now are 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
late ones that were approved are 11. Applications that were closed because they did not meet their deadline date was 5. There was one late that never got their information in, and there was one person who did not have an RRT, and they were closed. With regards to our time frame for everything, again, we had 35 new licenses issued. The administrative completeness time frame is 15 days, and we did it in one. The substantive review time frame is 90 days. It was completed in one. So the overall time frame, which is 105 days, we did that in two. For the total number of late licenses issued, that was 11. For administrative completeness time frame, we have 7 days. We did that in one. For the substantive review time frame, which is 60 days, completed in one. And the overall time frame, which is 67 days to complete those, was two.
Great. Nice. Yeah. All those ones that are, I don't remember how many you said, but I see them up here, that pending, are we waiting on documentation from them? Are we waiting on fingerprints or a combination of?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I believe, and I'm pulling from memory because it's not in front of me, but I believe that we have a total of 76 open cases right now. There it is. Yes. Some of those older ones have come off of that case list as of today's meeting, except for the one that's at 204 days, which will be coming up. At a future meeting. We started that one back in July 2019. Again, the majority of our caseload right now is continuing education audits. I don't know if anybody has any questions, concerns.
Can I ask a question on your financial report?
Absolutely.
On which report? Your page 558. Says your full time, your FTE allocation is 4. Just curious if we're going to be doing an additional FTE.
No, not. We've been limited at 3 FTEs for since I've been here, and that's because of the governor / DOA's policy, for lack of a better word, on not hiring vacant positions, vacancy savings, that sort of thing. I don't think I'm using the exact correct terminology, but...
Well, you appear to be spending your money well.
We usually spend it very well. Yeah, so I did, in response to that, I did put a request in for fiscal year 21 for a part-time investigator for $20,000. I don't have any hope that that will go through because the governor's office is supporting that. However, JLBC, the legislature, is not. So usually the governor's office has been getting a lot of the budget stuff done that they want, so we may get it. But that $20,000 is not going to have much of an impact on our cash balance or our appropriation. So, any other questions? And then I did include the customer satisfaction surveys over the last month.
That's okay.
They look pretty good overall. The people that do have a lot of complaints and so forth usually don't end up filling this out. I usually hear from them personally. So, but we do. We get very positive comments on both folks that Kathy and Rachel are talking to on a regular basis. I don't get into the survey as much for some reason. I don't know why.
Right. See, Rachel is highly courteous and professional. professional, and Kathy is nice and professional. Nothing like that.
Yeah. Kathy was friendly and nice.
Can I ask a question about the rulemaking?
Absolutely.
In 602?
Yep.
Bottom of 602 regarding temporary licensure?
Yes.
There's a question on that that says, is the board currently prohibited from issuing a temporary license by statute?
The answer to that is not pursuant to statute.
So we can't?
We probably could. I don't like, so there's no process, no rule. I don't have anything that requires an application. So if we did, just pursuant to the statute that allows us to do temporary, we're going to be flying off the cuff. I don't necessarily like to do that. The rulemaking package is going to set up the guidelines about when we issue that temporary license. For example, if somebody applies from out of state, they've already got their RRT credential, their license in another state, they don't have any disciplinary action, those sorts of things. So we can cross off the minimum competency on a lot of those areas, issue that temporary license while their full-time application is proceeding through the process. Very similar to what we used to do. The only difference is we're going to require that RRT credential.
So then that answers my next question, that because we do require the RRT credential under Section A2 on 603, subsection A, we're essentially saying that you are required to hold an RRT before we would issue you a temporary license.
Yes. Okay. We're not, if you remember the old system, we would issue a temporary before somebody, after somebody graduated and they were waiting to pass their national boards.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to the old days when they did the written exam.
Yep.
So now we're saying, well, if you meet the, you're probably going to get licensed. It looks like a clean app. We're going to give you that 30-day temporary license so you can start working while we're waiting for your fingerprint background check to come back, that sort of thing. And this goes hand-in-hand with the governor's initiative on universal licensing recognition. People don't want to work. Arizona has the doors open. You can get here and get to work quickly. So we're getting there. You know, I just need to get these rules. The reason I provided these proposed rules is for the board to look at them. If you have any suggestions, see any problems, let me know. We'll be following the, we have gotten the approval from the governor's office to write these. Now it's just a matter of filing the paperwork with Secretary of State's office, finalizing some of the language and moving forward on it. I would say probably mid-year, July, August, September, we should have them in place. Rule approval goes through a public hearing. I'll notice the industry of the proposed rule making like we did back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get some feedback and comments on it.
So the only thing that I do like on page 604, it says the applicant shall notify the board of any change to information required in subsection A within 10 days of the change. And there's just a note that says it requires immediate notification. I actually like that it specifies 10 days because I don't know what immediate notification means.
Okay. Perfect. The notes that are, so our rule writer is an attorney that works at another agency. She does this part-time. She did the other rule package that we did. So she'll periodically ask questions for feedback, and that's what these questions are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go through here, I don't want to take the board's time, but as I go through here on my own time, if I have questions or comments, I can send them back to you?
Absolutely. You can either, if you have a Word, MS Word, software, you can put the comment in the documents and the document to me, or drop me an email with the.
May I request that you send this to me?
I was just going to say this is not going to become available after today.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Happy to.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right. What else you got, Jack?
I don't think I have a whole lot.
Something about
let's see here.
Number two.
Page 606 is another proposed change. And it's good we get a shuffle of attorneys, assistant attorney generals, from time to time, because it makes us review all of our policies, procedures, that sort of thing. And Mark had mentioned to me early on that there was a new statute on the books that allows the board to delegate, I'm paraphrasing, licensing decisions to its executive director to make those. It kind of formalizes what we have been doing. So we had a previous policy in place where you said, Jack, issue the licenses, and then we will rubber stamp we'll rubber stamp those and vote on those at every meeting. That's why you have the huge consent agenda.
Right.
So a new statute that was effective in August of 2019, it's ARS 323123, allows the board to delegate those licensing decisions for approvals of initial applications, renewals, and be done with it.
So no consent agreement?
No. So I wrote up a policy so that we could, if the board chooses, you can make a motion and a vote to delegate that authority to issue licenses, renewals, volunteer registrations if they come in, and then it's a done deal. And then we avoid those huge consent agendas. This policy that I drafted would allow for continuous feedback to the board every month in the form of, this is what we did, similar to what Kathy's roll-up report. We issued X number of licenses. This was the administrative time frame. This was the average time frame, so that we're giving constant feedback on what staff's doing. Obviously, if there's a problem with an application, we're going to bring that to you. If there's prior disciplinary action, if there's something that might cause staff to raise a red flag that, hey, maybe they shouldn't be licensed, those would always come to you as a application investigation.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the policy granting our executive director that autonomy.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
We have a motion and a second, so a discussion phase, because I have a question. So I like this policy, and you always err on the side of caution, so I have no qualms about that. What should happen years from now? You are not the executive director.
Oh,
if somebody else is, are we able to go back and say, nope, we don't want this authority given to the executive director any longer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not something that's in place forever. And your current, and that's why this is written as executive director, not Jack. So if that does change in the future, and it will.
At some point.
Hopefully your current executive director and staff will have enough desk procedures in place, step by steps, where somebody couldn't issue a license, that was a problem.
But if this became a problem, we could go back on this one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Could we put into this policy, that's what this is called, right, a policy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So could we write into this policy that it is to be reapproved or reevaluated every 3 years?
Sure.
That way it's required to come in front of the board?
Absolutely.
I mean, it can be annually. We don't know how long any executive director is going to be anywhere.
Some boards do like that. You have some boards have a staff that can monitor those due dates and so forth on a yearly basis. So, but absolutely, you can put language in here and automatically cancel upon change in your executive director. So that could be re-reviewed. Just realize that we're going to be changing the agenda form, so you're not going to get that huge consent agenda anymore, and we're going to be doing it in roll-up reports. So
I think if it were renewed every January with board elections on, that's a once-a-year thing that always happens, like at a certain time.
Right.
I like it with him. I worry what the future might bring. I mean, I think he's responsible enough to do it.
So
I just don't want to leave it out there hanging.
So I'll amend the motion that we we approve the policy with the inclusion that it come back to the board annually for reapproval.
Annually from time it's signed, so every February?
Correct.
Okay.
Second.
Are you good, Jen?
Just do it with your elections. Just do it every January, the first month of the year.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, so there's the amended motion. We have an amended second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. Good, I like that.
Thank you.
All right, what else you got, Jeff? Number six now?
Do you want to tackle this continuing education thing today?
Sure.
Or do we want to put that on your future agenda items?
All in.
Why don't we start today? And if you don't mind, I'd appreciate if we could entertain a motion to go into executive session for legal advice.
I'll make a motion that we move into executive session
for legal advice.
Well, because it is reviewing consideration and possible vote on continuing education. So it's under the executive director's point six.
Okay.
So it's there. Yes, there at the top.
Right.
We have a motion to go in and a second to go into executive session. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Who nay? Someone out there, didn't you?
Somebody
guys,
wants to leave.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you, but you're overruled. And motion passes.
So, you want to do it differently this time? Do you want to have them leave, go out in the lobby, and we stay here?
There's a lot of them.
All right, we'll be right back. Bear with us, folks.
It's still early, guys. Okay, hey, we're back again. Miss us?
I am going to recommend that the board directs board staff to evaluate our current continuing education enforcement matrix and in collaboration with our Attorney General's office, reevaluate and bring back to the board recommendations for future approval. That being said, a couple of items that I would like the board staff to evaluate would be the determination between a non-disciplinary and a disciplinary order from the board related to continuing education. Based upon our statute, it would appear that disciplinary orders may be necessary for failing to answer questions correctly on the attestation or on the affidavit that they signed at the time that they were getting their licensure. So in lay terms, what that means is essentially I'm recommending that we eliminate this consent process and we move toward disciplinary action for lying on the renewal applications when you sign that attestation saying you have the CEUs but yet you failed to produce them. I would just like the board to evaluate that. I'm not making a decision on this.
But we have a policy we probably want to rewrite.
Correct.
Okay.
Based on whatever board staff comes back with.
Correct.
Yes. So look at our policy that's only a couple of years old and renew it.
Yeah.
And we have a new process in place for renewing our license currently. So current licensure renewal mandates that RCPs upload their continuing education into the database at the time of renewal. So I think now is the appropriate time for us to reevaluate our current policy.
Yeah.
Are
you
good?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. We don't have to vote on that, right?
No.
That's
no.
Just a recommendation. Okay.
You know, if you wouldn't mind, that would be
revisit.
Everything that I just said, I'm going to motion that we direct the board staff to revisit this policy.
Yes, and come back.
And bring back to the board recommendations from the board.
Thank you.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion passes. Okay, Jack, anything for number number 7, or did you take care of that?
Just to let the board know, there are no specific pieces of legislation right now that involve the Board of Respiratory Care. There's a lot of general things out there. There's telemedicine, and there's funding for IT projects, and all kinds of other things that may have a minimal impact, but there's nothing specific on the respiratory board being consolidated in another agency or anything like that.
Okay. Item 3H is summary of current event that affects Arizona Board of Respiratory Care examiners. So if anyone has anything there, anything?
Student conference is coming up in April.
April 23rd.
And we will be there. We've been asked to do a presentation. I don't have anything else.
And the state conference is coming up August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd. More information should be coming soon on the website.
Where is it this year?
Same place it was last year at the Sheraton.
Okay. Okay. We have a new agenda item, which is 3J, and it's general question and answer session from the audience attending the public meeting. So this gives us the opportunity to kind of throw out there. I'm afraid to ask this question today, though.
Let's weigh in quick with Mark, because this is a new agenda item. And I just want to make sure that he's comfortable with it in, compared to the call to public.
Hi.
They're
going to make it. You okay with that?
I just think we need to be careful that, you know, if it's something very substantive other than just kind of feedback, then we need to ask board staff to put it on a future agenda item.
Okay. So just general feedback.
Yeah.
So this is what we can ask you, and then, like I said, I'm kind of afraid to today. Just general feedback of what you got out of the meeting today.
Keep your license on you at all times.
Yeah, thank you. I made that point clear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What else?
Anything on the CDUs? They should come up and introduce themselves. Yeah. At least. Okay.
Don't be shy.
Anyone?
Go ahead and
stand and introduce yourself, please.
Okay. I had a similar situation that the other gentleman had, but it was handled totally different. So I was wondering, is there a way to revisit that down the road or talk to someone, maybe Mark Harris after the meeting? Because it was the same situation, but I wasn't given the opportunity to take a class. It was more of a pain, I guess.
I don't remember what it was.
I would be more than happy to talk to you after.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that we can do anything. I'm not familiar with the facts, but I'll talk to you for sure.
Did you ask me, and have I responded to it? Because if that's the case, I don't want him giving me different advice.
No,
I was just
curious. Today it was a lot different than
Sure.
To see you, same situation.
Thank you.
My name is Don Adams. I'm a respiratory therapist. Are we able to do more than one meeting a year to get extra live or not? Or is it just considered just a one time only?
One time per licensing period.
Okay.
You can come anytime you want, though. Just hang out with us.
It's a long ride to Tucson.
All right, that's fair. Anyone else? Okay, next thing on the agenda item is the call to the public. And the call to the public is when we give anyone wishing to speak to the board 5 minutes, knowing that we cannot have any conversation about what you might have to say because it's not been on the agenda and we have to stick to the agenda. So if anyone has a call to the public, now would be the time. Usually it's pretty silent around that point. And that brings us to K, which is items to be placed on future agenda. Do we have anything that we haven't discussed? No? And it looks like we are adjourned. Oh.
You want to stay for a little while longer, don't you? No, okay. We may not have enough work for March. I think we have one or two hearings, but as far as initial cases and so forth, it may not roll up to a full meeting. I will let you know as soon as I know, but I'm just giving you a heads up, okay?
Okay. And actually, before I adjourn, we're going to do a roll call for the CEU people who are here.
Or still here.
All right, raise your hands. Sure. John Adams.
So that you know when to schedule.
Mark, is